Iranians observe March of the anniversary of Hazrat Fatemeh Zahra, peace be upon her, with religious fervor across the country. Bodies of 176 martyrs of the Secret Defense era are laid to rest in Islamic Iran. Syria says any chemical test of its soil should be approved by a Syrian government. Bahraini security forces clash with anti-regime demonstrators, injuring several people. And Afghan president says U.S. violated international human rights by its deadly airstrikes. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to this edition of Iranian English News with me, Nima Chitsas. The Iranian Shiite community on Sunday observed the martyrdom anniversary of Hazrat Fatemeh Zahra, peace be upon her, with religious fervor across the country. Hazrat Zahra was the daughter of the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. She was also the wife of Shia's first Imam, Imam Ali, peace be upon them. During processions, mourners beat their chests as expression of a profound grief over her martyrdom. Iranian embassies, consulates, and cultural centers in all major world cities also organized commemoration ceremonies to observe the martyrdom of Hazrat Fatemeh Zahra, peace be upon her. Meantime, on the occasion of the martyrdom anniversary of Hazrat Fatemeh Zahra, peace be upon her, a grand commemoration ceremony was held in Tehran in the presence of leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, as well as a number of Iranian officials and a great number of enthusiastic Iranians. The ceremonies were held in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniyeh, where mourners beat their chests and sang eulogies. رد خونی به کوچه ها مونده خسته را بی پناه را کشتن مادری پا به ماه را این حرف خود زه تا خون تو رگای ما تو رگای ماست کی گفت. Concurrent with the martyrdom anniversary of the beloved daughter of Islam, Prophet Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa, peace be upon them, the bodies of 176 martyrs of the Secret Defense era were laid to rest in 71 places of the Islamic Iran. People carried the bodies on their shoulders and paid them tribute. Out of these martyrs, 130 bodies are unidentified. The bodies were found in operation zones of Balfaj 8, Majnun, Ramazan, and east of Tigris River. Syria's information minister said on Sunday that any chemical test of its soil carried out without the Syrian government's approval will not be accepted. Umran al-Zubi said Turkey and Qatar are legally and morally responsible for the chemical attack by terrorists, adding that Britain, France, and their allies should answer about the source of chemical weapons.
Any soil test or anything else that is undertaken without notifying the concerned international agencies or without the approval of the Syrian government have no scientific, legal, or political value and are considered forgery against the rights of the Syrian state and nation. Where did those who brought the rocket into Khan al-Asal come from? Where did they get the chemical weapons from? They should ask Turkey, Britain, France, and certain other countries about the source of this chemical weapon. And that's why these countries are trying to cover up this issue.
Iraq says its security forces have arrested 47 terrorists on the charge of smuggling weapons from Iraq into Syria. Iraqi authorities said a group of militants with the Al-Nusra Front terrorist group has been captured in Al-Anbar province, which is close to the border with Syria. Large caches of weapons were also seized. The turmoil continues in Syria as the army battles foreign-sponsored militant groups in the country. Damascus has time and again called on its neighbors to control the flow of arms and militants into Syria. Acting Palestinian Authority Chief Mahmoud Abbas has accepted the resignation of his selected Prime Minister Salam Fayyaz after a week-long row. The resignation came in the wake of mounting criticism of Fayyaz's economic policies by Abbas's Fatah Party and despite Washington's lobbying for the U.S. graduate to stay in office. U.S. Secretary of State reportedly went as far to telephone Abbas to press him to find common ground with his Prime Minister. Meantime, Hamas spokesman Sami Abu Zuhri commented on Fayyaz's resignation.
The resignation of Fayyaz was accepted because of the differences between him and Fatah movement, and this has no connection to the Palestinian reconciliation. We have reservations about Fayyaz, but we think the problem is not the names, it's the Palestinian authorities' policies. So we are calling on Mahmoud Abbas to re-evaluate his policies because we still consider them as wrong.
The Iranian security forces have clashed with anti-regime demonstrators, injuring several of them as thousands demonstrate against the ruling Al Khalifa regime across the kingdom. Regime forces fired tear gas and sound bombs to disperse protesters in the villages of Sanabis and Samahij. At least two people were arrested and several others, including a 14-year-old boy, were injured. Protesters also took to the streets in the town of Balad al-Qadim and chanted slogans against the regime, calling for its downfall. The protests were organized by Bahrain's main opposition group, Al-Wefaq, as part of a week-long campaign against the regime. Meanwhile, the sponsors of the Formula One auto race say they plan to limit or stop their sponsorship for the Bahrain Grand Prix amid ongoing anti-regime demonstrations in the country. The sponsor company said they would not display their brands in the event to save money for the less politically sensitive events in the future. And now a recap of our top stories. Iranians observe March of the anniversary of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, with religious fervor across the country. Bodies of 176 martyrs of the Sacred Defense Era are laid to rest in Islamic Iran. Syria says any chemical test of its soil should be approved by Syrian government. Bahraini security forces clash with anti-regime demonstrators, injuring several. An Afghan president says U.S. violated international human rights by its deadly airstrikes. Afghan President Hamid Karzai has said the United States violated international human rights when its military carried out a deadly airstrike in the eastern province of Kunar. The Afghan president made the remarks after his government's investigation into the April 6 incident raised the Afghan civilian death toll from 11 to 17, including 12 children and 4 women. Karzai also stated that foreign troops breached his decree, which barred airstrikes in residential areas, and described the move as unacceptable. In addition, the Afghan president ordered his government officials to offer immediate assistance to the families of the victims. On other news, 2 Italian soldiers were injured on Sunday in a roadside bomb explosion in Afghanistan's western province of Herat. The Taliban militants claim responsibility for the attack and said it was part of their spring offensive against the foreign forces in Afghanistan. At least 4 people have been killed in an attack carried out by a U.S. assassination drone in northwestern Pakistan. The U.S. killer drone fired 2 missiles at a house in Dattakhel, west of Mehranshah, the main town in the Pakistani tribal region of North Waziristan. Accordingly, the house was completely destroyed in the attack. Pakistan's tribal regions are attacked by U.S. assassination drones almost regularly, with Washington claiming that militants are the targets. However, casualty figures clearly indicate that civilians are the main victims. The killing of Pakistani civilians, including women and children, has strained relations between Islamabad and Washington. Meantime, Pakistani police officials say a roadside bomb attack in the northwestern part of the country has killed Mukarram Shah, a local leader of the Awami National Party. He was traveling when his vehicle was targeted by an improvised explosive device. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack, but police officials blame pro-Taliban militants who have carried out similar assaults in the past. Thousands of Portuguese protested at the country's austerity policies, calling for Prime Minister Pedro Pessoa's Chelo to resign. Our correspondent in Lisbon has more.
The sun went out strong today in Lisbon, a sign of good weather but not good news for the 1,000 people who demonstrated today. It is a long walk that so many face while marching against the impoverishment of the country. After 1 week of fighting, the General Confederation of Portuguese Workers, CGTP, protested today in Lisbon against the austerity measures of the government and Troika. Among the slogans of the demonstrators are "Unemployment in Portugal is a national shame," "You just steal those who live to work," and "It's necessary, it is urgent to run with these people out of power." The end of this demonstration happened in front of the parliament. Jerónimo de Sousa, Communist Party leader, says it is time the President of the Republic to convoke new elections.
For 7 days, CGTP has gathered thousands in 42 cities in the country. They are fighting against the impoverishment of Portugal. They promise to continue fighting and still believe government's resignation. Inês Subtil, Shabaka Kebar, Lisbon.
Now, according to the debt sustainability assessment, Cyprus's economy will tumble by a jaw-dropping 8.7% this year. Our correspondent has more on the issue.
The new austerity measures stipulated in the freshly drafted Cypriot Memorandum of Understanding bailout might lead the economy of the island to contract as much as 13% during 2013, taking a heavy hit after the restructuring of the banking sector and the introduction of new tax legislation that will bury deep in the ground the international tax haven status of the island. In 2013, the recession may not be 8.7%. As originally estimated, it may reach 13%, Christos Silianides said in recent comments last Thursday. The European Commission's original forecast before the bailout predicted a 3.5% contraction rate. The Cyprus bailout includes public sector wage cuts in 2014, tax increases, and a deep and wide overhaul of the entire banking sector, including a haircut on corporate deposits, with levy taxes on uninsured amounts over 100,000 euros, bonds and shares. The country has become the fifth Eurozone member to request help after Greece, Ireland, Portugal and Spain, where the Troika supervised the bank loan assistance program. Although Cyprus accounts merely for 0.2% of the Eurozone's joint GDP, it has set a dangerous precedent of inconsistency, thus creating uncertainty for both the Eurozone and its citizens. The imposition of shocking losses on uninsured depositors in the Bank of Cyprus and the Cyprus Popular Bank as part of the negotiations for its bailout and the actual shutdown of CPB has created a fury throughout the country. Public wrath grew further as banks closed for nearly 2 weeks to avoid capital flight, reopening on March 28 with controls limiting financial transactions. And while the spokesman of the Cypriot government underlined that leaving the Eurozone would be like jumping into the abyss, further recession projections leave nothing but a thin hope for an economic turnaround. The spokesman of the Cypriot government indicated that the economy of Cyprus might shrink by 13% in 2013, raising fears for further and deeper contraction rates in the future. Lykos Dramanos, Shabaka Kabar, Athens.
And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRI and in English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.